on this episode of Podigious.
But I just hate people who assert that you can't digivolve your differences, because that's a lie.
See, Ash, you shouldn't have expectations.
I know! That's why I'm never listening to you guys ever again. I respect that. Like, that's a well thought out response, and also you're wrong, because Auntie Lumon's the best.
What would we change about Tamers if we could change one thing? One, two, three. Remove Rio.
Rio.
I need a password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Podigious.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 315, the post-tame show.
Digimon Tamers, all of it.
General impressions, podcast stats, fantasy draft winner, Tamers, Digimon, changing Tamers, Omega RDD, and Tamers, Terminal Judgment.
Recorded November 6, 2016.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by my fellow Diginomes, Ashley McDonald.
I'm so sick, infected with something. I don't remember the song well enough for this.
Asher Softman.
Yo.
Andrew Softman.
I'm all rileyed up and ready to go.
Oh, that was good. Oh, that was good. Yeah. Andrew actually had one today.
Wow. Busted it out.
Before we dive into the episode, we had a couple brief announcements I wanted to bring up. First off, we have not finalized the design yet as of this recording, but by the time you're listening to this, we will have finalized the design for Season 3 Podigious t-shirts. So there are going to be two designs, and they're going to be available for 3 weeks. Basically, we're going to be using Teespring, which is the site where you can order them, and assuming we get above a certain minimum number of orders, then they'll be printed. I think the minimum is really low, like 3 or 4, so hopefully we can sustain both designs. We'll have a link on the website, like on the sidebar, so you can find that when you listen to this. It should be great and awesome. And the other thing is that we're running a end of Season 3 listener survey with a bunch of different questions to figure out how we can improve the podcast for future seasons. So check that out if you want to provide feedback, be helpful, or if you want to like influence the direction of the podcast and things we should improve or things that you do or don't like, that kind of thing. So look for that. We'll also have a link to that in the show notes. Now, without further ado, this week we're looking back on all of Digimon Tamers. So here's a quick recap of the season.
Audience stand-in Digimon nerd Kato gets bored of his sex's bro-friends and decides to scribble knots himself a Digimon slash friend slash pet slash child. He soon meets boring beyond his age Henry and badass beyond her age Rika, and the three team up to take down terrorist threats and delegitimize shadowy government surveillance.
Ouch.
Wait, what? Which
some
one
of
ouch?
Us. Some of us like Henry.
I really like Henry. I just gonna stab him in the heart in the recap.
Apparently. Anyway, their favorite Podigious mascot is kidnapped. So the kids do what any millennial would do. Spend all day on the internet. But they learn that the internet is actually a dangerous place when their tsundere bully pseudo-friend murders their newest friend. Also, turns out all the evil people were only evil because they thought racism was the best way to fight against the concept of file deletion. But the concept of file deletion really likes depression, so it hitches a ride with Jerry.
When they get back to Tokyo, the concept of deleting files appears again, taking the form of lava lamp ooze as a symbol for the deleted memories of the 70s. The kids band together and, with the power of friendship, but really mostly the power of adults deceiving their children... they managed to banish the idea of deleting files.
In a final lost footage post-credit scene, it's revealed that all the adults who supported the kids were secretly funded by the hard drive industry and just wanted to stop files from being deleted so they could sell more hard drives. Okay, so now on to some meta statistics about the podcast itself over the past season. This is a fun thing we did last season. I think thought it would be cool to do again this year and add a couple different things. So anyway, first thing I wanted to look at was the comparing the runtime of our podcast with the runtime of the episodes of Digimon that we're covering and to see how that changed over time and how it compared to the past seasons. So we're basically in these stats going to be talking about a bunch of different graphs that I made, and we'll have a link in our show notes to an Imgur album of these graphs that you can look at. So the first one is by Digimon episode, and it's the ratio of our podcast length to the Digimon episodes. And there are two really big spikes in the past seasons, which were for the episodes we covered individually, episode 21 in Adventure and episode 13 in 02. which makes a lot of sense because that was we mm-hmm. devoted entire episodes to. We have a kind of similar spike.
Is it because it's Rio?
No. This is for the Beelzemon showdown fight for those three episodes when we had Jacob on. But also, I also split this out into there are four lines in here because we have season one, season two, and season three, and then another one that's season three plus feedback episodes. So. Because I was like, feedback episodes kind of do count to the total of what we're talking about if we're like talking about those episodes still.
Mm.
Without the plus feedback thing, like just looking at the length of the main episodes, this past season doesn't look that much more longer per episode than season one and two. But once you factor in the feedback episodes, it's like huge, huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost 2x. Except for it looks like the ones near the end of the season, it looks like season two creeped up there. And then kind of.
That makes sense though, because like. We started doing longer things at the end. Like, that's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And in Tamers, we started trying to...
We started not caring.
I tried to... Because it started off, we would do, like, about four episodes at a time. I was like, we're getting nowhere doing this, so...
Mm.
So the other breakdown is by podcast episode, and the one thing this shows, the other one I couldn't really get to show, is the movies are included here, too, which I couldn't really include the other one because of the gap between different length seasons. Anyway, but so here are the movie episodes, and the movie episodes are, like, really, really high ratios for all the seasons. Season two definitely has the biggest one, that has the highest... ratio on all of these for the second movie episode, apparently. It's just like you can see the time skyrocket for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so then our Runaway Locomon episode is a similarly big jump there because it was like half as long as the Battle Adventures, but we talked about it for like twice as long, I think. So
that's just better.
Yeah, it's true. So yeah, these graphs confirmed what I thought, that like we probably went a lot longer than past seasons, like covering the same amount of material. So, okay, so next one is most mentioned characters. So this is data from when I edit the episode, it's not like 100% accurate, but I try to write down every time we mention a character for a significant amount of time so I can put it in the show notes. And I didn't actually follow through this past season with actually making those detailed show notes, but I did still, while I was editing, write all that information down. So I was able to use it for this. And so we can see who we mentioned most frequently, and Rika is number one by far.
Shocking.
I'm surprised that Kari is on there.
Where's Kari?
We mentioned Kari that many times?
Yeah, but like eight times, I guess.
Wow.
Kari is above like actual people in this season?
The problem is like I included the feedback episodes, which like we're also talking about news, about Try and stuff, so.
That's definitely skewing.
Yeah, Seiko has been robbed by this.
I'm surprised Riley is so low.
Aww.
Aww, poor Andrew.
Where is Riley? Is Riley even on here?
She's down under
Riley's
Kazu.
After Kazu.
Yeah.
That is shameful.
I only included up to, like, there's a ton below this threshold, too. It only goes up to Seiko with, like, six, I think. So, yeah, Gatomon is tied with Seiko and Lotmon. Like, that's really bizarre. Well, I mean, I think it's, like, because, like, every time we, like, just name drop them... Without saying anything significant about them, I wouldn't write it down. But if we said something significant about them, then I would write it down.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and some of them were, like, multiple times per episode and stuff, so...
Yeah, and we did talk about Kari compared to our females here. Our females.
Our wenches.
Good, yes, our wenches.
So now another breakdown of characters is... characters who said RDD picks, so what we actually like mentioned episodes as our picks were the Ridiculous Dialogue Draft, broken down by the characters that were saying those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So number one by far for this is Takato.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a silly boy.
He is.
How is Terriermon not number one?
I mean, Terriermon is number two, tied with Henry and Jerry, but
that's a random assortment of
number two. Although Jerry did have a lot of really funny lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, surprisingly so.
I guess so. Before she became a depression monster, you mean?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
When did we ever pick Shibumi?
I had one in one of the last episodes about the, like, he says Momentai to Terriermon, and then Terriermon's like, that's very annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one is more on RDD. This is RDD results. So the results are the polls for the RDD, which were, I guess, declaring winners. So the host who won the most was Ash.
You can't see me, but I'm doing a dance.
And then Ashley and me tied with only 1 point less than Ash. And then Andrew only had one total.
Really? I could have sworn I had more than that. But whatever.
Maybe things change. Maybe people kept... Because in the second season, I kept... Like, I would close the poll after a week or something. And for season three, they've just been open the whole time. So maybe people went in and changed them afterwards. These are, like, the result, the data as of a couple of days ago.
Mm. Yeah. Whatever.
And you guys never laugh when I say mine, but I'm glad that the community has my back on this.
Oh, man.
I would like to thank my mother and...
Our memeing mother.
Yeah, our mom learned how to meme recently.
She sent me a picture of Sasuke laughing today.
Our mom learned how to meme.
Oh, my God, did she really?
Oh, boy. So then the really weird flip side to this is, so now another way I broke it down was RDD lead balloons. So the basically the number of picks that got 0 votes total, which in season two was really rare because we got a lot more voters. People were more interested in 0-2. For Tamers, since we've had fewer voters, there are more lead balloons. But the really weird thing is how symmetrical this is. So this is, Andrew had 9. And then Asher had 3. And then me and Ashley, again, are tied in the middle.
What's a lead balloon?
It's a balloon filled with lead so that it doesn't actually rise. That's how bad the joke is. It flops that bad. Just goes...
Good.
Good.
I know there's like a phrase that like blah, blah, blah went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah. Andrew, you actually have as many as the rest... Oh, no. Never mind. I can't do math.
Oh, yeah. Combined, we have more than him.
Yeah, but almost not.
At least I'm bad for... I'm good for something.
You can't decide if you're bad or good for it, though.
I'm winning in something.
So, and then this is another thing I wanted to do, which was to look at the episodes where RDD picks and... Yeah, where RDD picks came from. So this first graph is... RDD picks broken down by episode. You can see there are like definitely a lot of spots where it was like no one picked any from certain episodes, and then certain episodes like we all were like, yeah, that one was the funny one. it's pretty clustered, but there's not too much data for this because we only had like, you know, like 8 or 9 picks per podcast. So what I really wanted to do was Ashley and I, when taking our notes, would write down all of our RDD picks, and we had them in like digital files. So I was able to, with both of our notes, go through and get more stats from like all of our possible candidates, which was just more data. So this is a similar breakdown by episode with more candidates. And you can see even more here. There are certain clusters. So like episode 19 had a ton, episode 5 as well, and this 6th movie. For some reason, that movie, those jokes weren't even that good.
They felt so good after Battle Adventurers.
Yeah, Battle Adventure was so dry. Yeah. Which is ironic because it was on an island with water. But this isn't the main reason I wanted to get the candidates for RDD, because that's not that interesting. What I really wanted to get was to break down those and then look at the episodes and then correlate the number of picks and candidates to the writers of the dub writers and see if there was any relationship between dub writer and if we like chose a lot of picks or not. Now, so this first one is RDD picks by dub writer, divided by the number of episodes they wrote. So it's like a ratio of how many we picked per their episodes. So some of them like only wrote like Steve Bloom, Alan Smith, Dave Wittenberg only wrote, and I think Mary.
Question: why is there a Steve Bloom and a Stephen J. Bloom?
Yes.
Oh.
They are the same person.
I did not... That... Okay. Interesting.
That's really... What?
I mean,
You're a human, right?
I didn't... I got these from a spreadsheet. I didn't see they were the same... Okay. So that makes...
Jeff failed to capture.
I was wondering why Steve Bloom only wrote one episode. That's because that was under that one variant of the name. Ugh, well, that's frustrating. I guess I need to fix that. Well, I guess if you combine them, then I'm not sure how that affects. Oh, crap. Really? Oh, come on. Steve Bloom, why'd you do that? Anyway, the clear winner was Seth Walter, and then Steve Bloom in second place, and then Adele Lim. And aside from Seth Walter, there's not really like a clear correlation indicated, though. But then, anyway, also looking at RDD candidates, so the ones that Ashley and I didn't actually pick, there's the episodes that Steve Bloom wrote under the name Stephen J. Bloom. We had a ton, apparently, per episode. And similarly with the episode written by Alan Smith. So they, like, only wrote one episode each. Well, Steve Bloom wrote others under... Anyway, I don't know if that's actually he changes writing, like, if the writing credits actually change, or if it's just the place where I got the data from changed it. But that's a pain. Oh, come on. I'm frustrated that I spent hours aggregating this data, and then I ended up missing something like that, and then it's going to go into the final recording because of that. Anyway, yeah, so this information wasn't as conclusive as I thought it would be. I guess, I mean, you can see things like Mary McGlynn, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, who was the director of the entire series, the episodes that she wrote, we really didn't have any picks or candidates from. But I don't know how much there's clean aside from that. Okay, so next chunk of things is basically statistics about listeners and engagement on the forums. So first thing, wanted to thank the people who, listeners who commented the most on the forum the past year since we started season 3. And so Ember Moto, Enrique's my favorite, tied with the most number of forum posts. Thank you. Clap, 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 clap. And also Chimapahin and Tia Lore were following behind that. And we also have statistics on the forum has like a like system. And so the people who got the most likes, Ember Moto had the most likes. And then behind them, Rika's my favorite and Air Jamon were tied in second place. And also has statistics on people who gave the most likes, most generous with their likes. And Chimapahin was first place in that. So thank you for doing that and for engaging on the forum. Okay, so the next thing, so this is, we asked people what their favorite segment of the podcast was, and I'm also curious what all of us think about their favorite segment of the podcast doing it. The first place winners were the episode recaps and RDD.
Of course.
How do people feel about that?
Makes sense. I think that you should not vote for episode recaps.
Wow.
Well, I think compared to our other sections, actually, that makes sense. My favorite is the one in second place, actually, which is outtakes. That's my favorite section.
Can we just have a podcast that is just our outtakes? You think it's a Digimon podcast, but actually it's just us messing up over and over again.
I would listen to that.
No one picked recommendation articulation. Not a single person.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Maybe you should think about that.
I mean, this was like you only got to pick one favorite thing.
Also, there's only 12 votes.
Yeah, so. It's a very small sample size. I posted basically like in the morning, yesterday morning, thinking we were going to record that day. Like, come on, quick, a couple hours. Come on, please reply to this.
Wow, so, that, yeah.
So desperate. Yeah,
I was. What are our favorite segments?
I mean, I already said my favorite is outtakes.
Yeah, outtakes, right. I guess recaps are my favorite. But I don't know.
I like topics.
Yeah, okay, that's your topics, I think, is like the meat of how I envision the show. So now it's the end. Now we're going to reveal the winner of the fantasy draft for the past season. So if you haven't listened to feedback episodes, Ashley recently pointed out to me that if you don't listen to the feedback episodes, it hasn't really been mentioned in the main episodes. And I'm like, oh crap, how did I not notice that? Because like we try to make feedback episodes so that you don't have to necessarily listen to them and can just get the main episode. But then I feel like it's a shame that you miss out on the fantasy draft. But anyway, the fantasy draft was a thing where before each episode, you could pick a team of a human and a tamer. Sorry. You pick a team of a human and a Digimon, and that would be your fantasy team. And then we would pick our favorite characters in the episode. And if we picked any from your team, you get points. And we'd also pick the most, we would vote on our most ridiculous and most desired teams that people submitted and then give extra points to them. So we didn't do that in the feedback episode for the movie. So we're going to announce the points for that now. So for 313, our favorite character picks were Panchamon, Gilmon, Labramon, and Calamon. And the notable fantasy teams that people submitted, I thought were Kai's Grandpa and Gilmon, Seiko and Mephistomon, and a Seagull and Calamon, which we awarded various points for. I forget how we all, like, offline, not on the podcast, recorded our votes. And then for 314, our favorite characters were Rika, Henry, and Riley. And the notable teams people submitted were Rika's dad and Locomon, Rika and Terriumon, and Yamaki and Gilmon. I thought it was interesting looking back at this that, like, for the first movie, we only picked Digimon as our favorite characters, and then for the second movie, we only picked humans. Like, it's kind of a weird pattern. I think there was so little story to the first movie that...
First movie is bad, and Digimon are the only thing that redeem it, and the second movie is better and is a drama involving much more the humans than the Digimon.
Psychological thriller. Mystery. I was on the seat of my pants the whole time. I was like, who's possessing Rika?
Exactly.
When I watch a movie, I talk about ghosts. Yeah, so I also wanted to thank people who submitted a reward, congratulate people who submitted Fantasy Draft picks not every week because it wasn't weekly, every episode, and there were two people, so it was Ember Moto and Airdramon. And so the final tally, final point distribution, in first place, who we're going to send a DVD box set of Tamers dub and the Tai Chi and Agumon figure. The first place winner had 24 points, and it was Ember Moto. Yay! Woo!
Yay!
Yeah, so congratulations. And we also, in second place, was Homer Neurotic, and in third place, Airdramon. It was kind of an interesting contrast because Ember Moto was doing it since the beginning, and, like, very consistently, like, gradually gaining points over time. Homer Neurotic started, I think, after six, like, halfway through, and just got, like, tons and tons of points for a couple different rounds. And ended up not being able to surpass, but it was, like, an interesting... It was, like, the tortoise and the hare. And I guess the tortoise... Tortoise. How do you say it?
Tortoise.
Oh, God.
Land turtle.
Yeah, I'm mixing up turtle and tortoise. That's what I'm doing.
I don't know what you're doing, to be honest. God.
Okay. It's the story of the turtle... I did it again!
the turtle!
It's the tale of the tortoise and the hare, and I guess the tortoise won in the end, so I guess that's how the story is supposed to go?
Yes.
That is how
the story goes.
I just called our listener a tortoise. That's mean. So, Embermoto, just send us your contact information, and we can send...
Why is that mean? Do you have something against tortoises?
I guess so. I just called them tortoises, so...
Okay, that's a little offensive, I think. Something that doesn't even exist.
Tortoise.
No, you didn't need to go there, actually. You didn't need to go there.
I think I did, though.
Okay. Yeah.
That's about as much as we can legally use, probably. Welcome to Digimon Family Feud. It's not really a family anymore because we swapped out Andrew for Ashley, but...
I still don't know what's going on.
It's kind of Family Feud. You lived together for 3 years.
Yeah.
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 We've seen far more of each other than anyone really wants to.
Okay, so we ran these... Pottages listener, how do they call them? Pottages listener favorite poll thingies on social media for the past couple weeks. And we're going to eventually discuss our favorites for those and mention the listener results and stuff. But before we go into that, I thought it was a good opportunity to play a mini round of Family Feud style game thingy. It's loosely based on that thing they do at the end of Family Feud. Ashley, what'd you say it was called?
Fast Money,
apparently. The thing where they, at the end, try to pick as many of the top results from the listener survey. Not listeners, they don't call it the top results from the survey. And we're going to do that. And instead of being cooperative, like a Family Feud, it's going to be competitive. So Ashley and Asher are going to compete against each other to pick the most popular results. And we're also, this is going to be competitive. We're not going to, you can both pick the same thing. So it's not advantageous. It's not, whoever goes first doesn't have a huge advantage.
I have no idea what's happening right now.
Asher, how are we friends? How are we friends, huh?
You know I don't watch TV.
What's wrong with you?
Okay, so here's how it's basically going to work. I'm going to set a timer for 30 seconds, and then in those 30 seconds, I'm going to run through a list of questions. The questions will be like, favorite tamer, favorite Digimon, etc. And what you need to respond with is what you think is the most popular result from our listener survey. Not
okay.
Survey, from our
all right,
audience.
All right.
And okay. So it'll both be a time limit of like you try and get in as many in the 30 seconds. I think we're going to keep going past 30 seconds just to, because they're probably like a minute and just to like, but okay. Like we'll try and okay. Tally up the points within 30 seconds. Anyway.
I got it.
Yeah. And then Andrew is going to write down the responses so that we can look
or
up
at
the
least
points.
Try.
After. Yes.
You better.
Let's do Ashley first. So, Ash, can you hear anything
okay.
With your headphones off?
No.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye. So, and we're going to keep going past 30 seconds, but, like, they won't be scored. Only the first 30 seconds will be scored. So, Ashley, you ready?
Give me... Sure.
Okay. So, in 3, 2, 1, go. Favorite tamer?
Rika.
Favorite Digimon partner?
Gilmon.
Favorite Digivolution?
Beelzemon.
Favorite adult?
Damn. Damn. Seiko.
Favorite diva? 10 seconds.
Tequilamon.
Favorite D-Reaper agent? 3 seconds.
I don't know, Miss Searcher. I don't know. I don't even know where they are.
Did you say something? Did you say this is torture?
I said searcher.
Oh, you said searcher. Okay.
So, isn't one of them called searcher?
Yeah, it is. Okay. So, Andrew, you got that down?
Okay. Yes.
So now we're going to keep going, but these won't be scored.
Okay.
Okay. Favorite ship?
Takato and Jerry.
Favorite arc?
Digital World.
Favorite episode? Some of these are just, like, impossible to...
The one, some Beelzebub fight one, I don't know.
Best surprise. Best good surprise. Biggest good surprise.
Best good surprise? That's biggest... so open-ended. I don't know.
You forfeit it?
Yeah.
Or you can say pass.
I skip that one. Pass.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Biggest disappointment?
Rio.
What would you change about Tamers if you could change one thing?
Rio.
Revealing your hand there, actually. Yeah, I guess I forgot, like, the skipping mechanic would have been really helpful for skipping the Devas and D-Reaper Agent.
Oh, yeah. I should have passed on D-Reaper Agent for sure.
Do you think it's fair, if I had said there was passing, would you have thought to pass for those? Like, should I tell Ash that passing is an option?
Yes.
Or should I tell him the pass is an option?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay, cool.
I don't care if he wins.
So now, take your headphones off.
Okay.
Yo.
Asher, okay, so Ashley got a perfect score on everything. So
wow.
You have to
so
be with that.
I'm already doomed.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the scores. So, okay, so I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
All right, sure.
Cool. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Favorite tamer?
Rika.
Favorite partner? Digimon partner?
Gilmon.
Favorite Digivolution?
Gallantmon.
Favorite adult? By the way, you can skip if you want.
Oh, I can? Favorite adult? Riley.
Favorite diva?
Oh, no. Seiko.
Okay, Seiko. Favorite diva?
Who cares?
Skip?
Yeah.
Favorite D-Reaper agent?
Favorite what?
D-Reaper agent.
Those have names? Jerry!
That is one of them. One of them is Jerry type.
Okay.
Cool. So we're going to keep going without scoring.
Okay.
Okay. Favorite ship?
Takato Jerry. I don't know.
Favorite arc?
See, you said that and I heard like arc as in the arc. Like, you know, that.
Noah's.
I choose that.
Noah's.
Yeah. Shibumi's arc. The D arc.
Choose a real one. Come on.
For real?
You need to beat Ashley.
I need to beat Ashley. Well, I've already lost because I skipped one.
don't be so sure about that.
Oh. Real arcs that our listeners liked?
The four options are Wild Ones, Tokyo Devas, Digital World, or D-Reaper.
D-Reaper.
Favorite episode?
Orochimon.
Okay. Biggest pleasant surprise?
What? Biggest pleasant surprise? The parents.
Mm-hmm. Biggest disappointment.
The show.
What would you change about the series if you change one thing?
What would the listeners change about the show? Rio. That's what I would change about the show.
Okay, cool.
Would write him out of existence.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
So how do we do? Did Azra get many more than I did?
No, I heard you got a perfect score.
I made that
what?
Up.
Oh.
There's no perfect
Why
score.
Why would you say that? I would have actually put some effort in if I thought I could win.
Wait, perfect, like, a perfect score would mean that every listener voted on the same thing and actually picked that one thing.
I guess I still don't understand the rules of Family Feud.
I don't understand the rules of Google Spreadsheets, because I don't understand why this is not working. Okay, so Ashley picked Rika, which is 29, which is 30 people per pretend. In Family Feud, they have a survey size of 100, so I'm scaling up to 100. So pretend there were 30
okay.
people.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so 30 for Rika, plus 26 for Guillemon, plus 21 for Beelzemon.
Numbers are going down.
Plus 30 for Seiko, and Telemon is 55.
Whoa.
And Searcher. I don't think Searcher's going to have anything.
Shut your face.
No, there is... Oh, you actually did vote for Searcher. Okay, both... Sorry, I got confused. Searcher, you get 8 points. So total, you had 170.
170, okay.
Which is, in Family Feud, that would be like the goal is to get 200 with two people, right?
Yes.
So 170 would be a really good score for actual Family Feud.
Sure.
okay, so then Asher had Rika for 30 points, Guillemon for 26. You do the same for, yeah. Gallantmon for 13.
Gallantmon.
I forgot about Antilamon.
As a Digivolution?
Yeah.
It actually wasn't popular as a Digivolution. It was popular as a Deva, but...
Oh. I forgot she was a Deva, too.
and then...
You forgot about Antilamon.
I just forgot about Devas. I forgot season 3 for the most part.
Wow.
He skipped that, and then Jerry. Jerry is worth 25 points. Okay, so Asher, you had 124 in the end.
I win.
I didn't think I would beat Ashley. Yeah. First of all, Ashley actually talks to our listeners.
I don't think that's actually useful in determining that. Okay, now diving into our actual thoughts about season 3 as a whole. I wanted to talk about general impressions, and I thought a good way to get us thinking about general impressions were to discuss our biggest surprise about the season, rewatching it, and our biggest disappointment. Biggest pleasant surprise is the assumption. So, Ashley, do you want to start off?
Sure. Pleasant. How much I did actually like Rika. Disappointment. How much the show really, really doesn't like girls.
Yep.
Also, it's just generally not as well put together as I thought, and I wrote down my one unanswered question, which I guess is like, Yamaki, why you no explore Yamaki? Why Yamaki hate Digimon? Why? Why he suddenly good person? Make no sense.
Yeah.
Boo.
Mm-hmm. Boo.
Also, Rio.
We all knew we weren't going to like Rio going in. No matter how long ago we liked Rio.
Them was my thoughts.
Yeah. Ash, so do you agree with those surprises and disappointments?
I mean, I agree that they... I agree with Ashley that those were a surprise. Well,
well,
I was not surprised that I liked Rika. Mine, well, my biggest disappointment was actually you guys were so excited about this series or this season. I was like, okay, maybe it's better than I remember. And no, it really wasn't. No. So that was my biggest disappointment. My biggest surprise.
See, Ash, you shouldn't have expectations.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I'm never listening to you guys ever again.
Cool.
Yeah. So, see, I was right all along. And then my biggest surprise was how much I appreciated the parents this time around. Because I don't remember having strong feelings about them one way or the other back when I watched it.
Well, you barely watched it.
Yeah, that also happened. But they definitely, their involvement made more of an impression on me this time. Maybe because I'm older.
Do you know we're as old as the parents are in the show?
That doesn't make any sense because these kids are at least 10 or 12. Yeah, it's not true. But I think we are closer.
We could
be closer to their age than we are to the kids' ages, I think.
We actually could.
Yes. We're probably close to the ages of, like, the Hypnos crew. They're probably in, like, their 30s.
But, I mean, like, if... Like, didn't we get the impression that Rika's mom had her when she was 16-ish? Did I make that up because of Gilmore Girls? I may have made it up because of Gilmore Girls.
16-ish is very young. I think you made that up because of Gilmore Girls, although she does look very young.
But, like, I also feel like model.
Takato's parents also feel fairly young. But John Yu seems pretty
old.
He's
like 20 years old.
Like not young?
23.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Which means he had Henry when he was 12.
But yeah, if someone had a kid when they were 16, they would be our age now when the kids were 10. So
yeah,
that's kind of a scary thought.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Anyway, Andrew, what are your biggest surprise and disappointment?
I am surprised at how much I hate the structure of the digital world. Because it was a giant plot device.
I thought it was supposed to be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. It's supposed to be a good surprise and a disappointment. Not a surprise, it is a disappointment.
Oh. I am surprised at how great most of the adults are.
Oh, high five!
When they're not deceiving each other and the children.
Mm. Okay, so never.
Okay.
Yes.
My biggest surprise is how... kind of also, like, in addition to just watching, but, like, our experience about talking about it and engaging with listeners and stuff, how kind of very tight the core team of the three main teamers and Digimon are in terms of favorites. You know, it's not like there's a standout, like, I'm used to, like, a bigger main team of 7 or 8 or whatever, and there being a couple really big favorites among that, but having just, like, I didn't really realize how, because looking back, I was like, oh, Rika's the best, but I didn't realize that, like, for as many people say Rika's the best, there's also, like, tons of people who say Takato's the best, or that say Rio, not Rio. Why did I say Rio? And I said Rio instead of Henry.
No!
I guess Henry would be the one part of that, those two triangles that is actually, like, but definitely, like, Gilmon, Renamon, and Teriamon is, like, very heated for who people like the best, and so I kind of forgot about, like, it just feels like a much more tight season, if that makes any sense, in that regard, in terms of, like, the core people being, like, I don't know, it's hard to really articulate that thought, and like, but mainly what I'm saying, also saying, is that a lot of my impressions are colored by generally being disappointed by putting so much hype into the season, and then being like, yeah, it wasn't that worth the hype. Which I say in terms of, like, I put a ton of hype into it, and I'm like, yeah, it was a pretty good season, but not like, oh my god, everything needs to be analyzed, every corner needs to be overturned, because there'll be so much depth, there'll be so much, like, oh my god, like, I'm going to, like, dig through Kanaka's notes to understand what the real intent here, the real meaning, the real metaphors. And it's like, no, it's, like, a pretty good Digimon season. But, I mean, also disappointments were the Devas, so much disappointment in the Devas. Just, like, so much. And also Ryo and Kazu in general, but also their general dude bro sexism. Very disappointing. Okay, so let's talk about tamers. Let's first... what were all of our favorite tamers? Ashley, who's your favorite tamer?
Rika.
No surprise. Asher?
Rika.
Andrew? You can't say Riley.
I can say Riley if I damn want to. For she has to deal with Yamaki.
Oh!
Whoa.
I like it.
Sick burns.
You're saying that she is Yamaki's tamer?
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
But if you want a real tamer, I'll say Rika.
Mm, yeah, I would also say Rika. So.
Oh, Jeffrey, I didn't trust you to actually say that.
What do you think I would say?
Peer pressure.
Takato.
No. Takato, I definitely... We'll get Kazu. To that, but like I...
God.
Takato, I like the idea of.
Kenta.
But in practice, it's like, okay.
Jerry.
Yeah, Kenta.
Jerry actually seems like something you would say.
No, I mean, I think there's much more contention in when we get to our Digimon. But yeah, I guess it doesn't surprise me that we all went to Rika. I think there are also other tamers that are things to like about them, but Rika stands above them, literally. She, like, steps on them, probably. I mean, Alice. Alice is a pretty hard...
Oh, yeah, you should have picked Alice.
Yeah, totally. It was,
Alice
she was right there. I guess we don't actually know she's a tamer.
Digimon?
She has a Digimon with her, but we don't know if she has like a Digivice or anything. Yeah.
I don't think she counts.
I mean, she technically kind of does. Well,
but I and Mako didn't get a Digivice, and we considered them tamers forever, because Digimon was all like, oh, these people are my tamers. And it's like, what? They didn't have a Digivice until just now. How did you, what? I don't understand.
I guess that's true. So, according to listeners, Rika was number one, not unsurprisingly, then Takato, then Henry, then Jerry.
Too many votes for Ryo.
Yeah, Ryo had a total of 3 votes. That's not allowed. Those 3 people are terrible people.
Nobody can vote for Ryo.
What? 3?
Why is Steve on the list?
So there was one person on Reddit who voted for Steve Bloom for both for favorite tamer, Digimon, and adult. And I'm like, okay, but they don't actually... So for like for the adult and Digimon, I replace that with the with Kyomon and Yamaki, but I'm like, Steve Bloom doesn't voice a tamer, so I'll just leave this in, I guess.
Interesting.
Odd.
Yes, I think they were trying to be odd. And this is a similar situation as last year, where it's like the Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr were posted to our like people who follow Podigis, which we assume are like maybe they don't listen to every episode, but we assume they're know of the podcast, our listeners. The Reddit votes much less clearly listeners, because that's just posted on Reddit publicly. Probably a lot of comments, most comments probably come from people who haven't listened to podcasts. So if you want to think of it as just a listener survey, then you can kind of like mentally remove that light blue color, which is the furthest right in all these polls. So you can kind of see like for most of these, it kind of retains the same shape if you remove the light blue Reddit color. So, okay, so now let's talk about each tamer. Takato, like I said, I like the idea of him and his concept, his, whole, he represents a Digimon fan instead of the hot-headed, extroverted protagonist personalities we'd seen before and will continue to see after this. But I don't think there's that much more to him than that in the end. Anyone disagree?
No, I think there is more to him than that. He is very kind and brave in a way that Ty and Davis aren't.
What is that way?
I'm thinking about it. It's Ty and Davis are very, their courage is very brash, right? Like, we've talked about this. But Takato's is more, he's not afraid to be very open with his feelings. Like, we don't really... Well, I mean, okay, Davis is open about his feelings, but his feelings are very shallow.
Yes.
And Ty often just, like, runs away from his feelings. But, like, we see Takato be a really good, like, be really good about trying to communicate with Jerry. Like, he faces her pain in a way that we don't really see other protagonists do.
I guess my frustration with that is that I've seen a lot of people say that Takato has a really interesting arc in that, in how he comes to like help Jerry. But I also am just like, I don't really see that as much being much of an arc. It feels like he...
I don't really think it's an arc. Yeah. I think that's just how he is. He gradually opens more, and I don't think that's an arc for him so much as an arc of the story revealing that side of him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of like him initially, as soon as Jerry starts to show warning signs, he's not as open as he maybe could be, or like he's not as effective at helping her. And especially like in the...
Okay, but he's 10.
Right. No, but I'm saying like, I guess you could say that there's an arc in that like he then later on is better at that. But like, I still think that's a kind of flimsy. It's not like his like character is defined by that or anything like that. It's not like he... I don't know. I think there is kind of this arc to Jerry, right? Like not being involved, not being interested in Digimon, and like then kind of becoming interested in it, and kind of I think because of Takato to some degree. And I feel like there could be more to explore about like his guilt in that regard, that like she becomes so invested in this and then like ties it so closely to her identity and then loses herself and completely succumbs to depression. It's like partially his fault. It's not really explored. That like, I don't know. It seems like he's just there to help her because he's the nice person who's there to help people.
You know, I disagree with that line of fault.
Of fault in general.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying like, it seems like when people talk about like Takato helping Jerry, I feel like Takato helps Jerry because Jerry needs help and Takato is nearby. And
I don't agree.
Like, I actually don't agree either, because he genuinely likes her.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not what I'm not saying, like, oh, he doesn't like her. What I mean is, like, that it's
he genuinely cares for her.
No, I know. I'm also not saying that, like, I didn't mean it, like, quite as literally as what I meant. Like, I didn't mean it quite as literally as what I said. It's like, oh, she's just nearby, so he just cares for her. I do agree that he genuinely cares about her and likes her and wants her to be happy, but it's not like, I guess I'm just saying there's no arc to it, and that's what we've said several times at this point, so it's fine.
Honestly, what you're saying is it seems more like he would do this for any one of his friends, which he does. Like, he does technically does the same thing for Rika in the movie. He does it in, that's it. That's pretty much it. But I'm sure he would do it for everyone else.
Which I guess, yeah, I guess I was saying as like a fault, but that's part of his character, and that's a legitimate thing, and that's different than most other Digimon protagonists are represented. That's an interesting side.
Well, definitely out of the ones we've covered so far.
Yeah.
Because when you kind of describe it, like, one-dimensionally like that, Taiki would be very similar in personality to Takato.
That's true. Let's move on to Rika. Rika, why do we all love Rika so much? Why do we all choose her as a favorite character?
Because she is awesome.
She's the only one who stood out at all. Like, if you think that Takato doesn't have an arc, it's like, Rika, clearly, they tried very, very hard to get lots of arcs.
yeah. Like, Rika she's actually cool. Like, she's the coolest of all the characters in the entire show. And also, she's the most fun to watch. Like, yeah.
Which is something that I think a lot of the other characters lack fun. They have, like, interesting sides. It's like, oh, that's kind of neat. But, yeah. I mean, we kind of disagree with where her arc went, though, and kind of how it tried to, especially the way it was.
Oh, sure, the execution.
Sure, but at least it was there.
It tried. Yeah. It tried the hardest.
Yeah.
It had the most potential that was squandered. Squandered on Ryo. I will always blame it on Ryo.
So Henry, I think, does he have an arc? I don't know. I guess there's not really much of an arc there. There's like a mini arc to his overprotecting of Suzy and then kind of, I guess, learning to become better about that. But
his arc is, I don't want to fight.
Yeah, there's that too. I forgot about that.
A monologue about why.
Oh, no. Actually, there's not a monologue about why. There's a reveal at the end of the season about why, and then a, like, which in retrospect makes things make a lot more sense. And I guess there is a monologue early on, but there's no, like, actual, it doesn't actually reveal the inciting incident. Yeah, Ash, one thing you said in our, so I listened back to episode 300 to see other interesting things that we had mentioned that were worth bringing up now. But one thing you mentioned was that you were, like, looking forward to Henry, and you thought that there might be more interesting stuff to him this time around. And I agree, because I was like, oh yeah, it seems like you're, the way you, like, were kind of fascinated with Cody in 02. How do you feel about that now? Do you feel like he was interesting?
I feel like there is more to him than the surface presents, but also just, like, he did not have the screen time revealing those inner layers that Cody did, actually. Like, he had a lot of screen time, but, like, it never really revealed who he was. So, like, this was a leading question, I feel, Jeff, but yes, but not to the extent I got with Cody. He is not as interesting as I wanted him to be.
I mean, I think I find it really frustrating that arc with overprotecting of his sister, and, like, is a lot of that is, like, left completely unaddressed by the narrative, how when the Beelzebub stuff is going down, like, his, like, kind of, like, sheltering Suzy, like, he loses track of Teriyamon, then Teriyamon has to be saved by someone else and stuff, and it's not like he's never, like, reprimanded for that in any way. And then I feel like the episode where he then, I guess, becomes okay with Suzy joining the action was, like, weird, and, like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't, like, the logic was off the charts, kind of. And so there are a lot of, like, execution issues with it, too. Which, I mean, there were plenty of execution issues with Cody, too. But,
It's weird to see how many parallel things that Henry and Cody have. Like, a weird sensei.
Yeah.
Who's just, like Cody's grandpa or whatever. Just, like, spouting nonsense
about
them.
They are very
philosophical nonsense.
I think a lot of viewers really didn't like Cody in a way that people don't. I think most people are just bored by Henry, whereas they disliked Cody actively.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think that is true.
So maybe they made like a tamer version of Cody when they were playing the season.
Yeah, maybe that's what's going on here. I don't know. I don't know why that would be.
I mean, Cody, it was weird. Like, Cody's age was, I think, one of the... Like, we made sense of it, and it makes sense why his being young, like, made him so more strict about morals and stuff. But, like...
Yeah.
I think it made it more annoying as a viewer, kind of.
Yeah, that's true. Cody can be... I think people often don't like characters getting emotional, and Cody had some pretty emotional moments in season two. So maybe that's what it was.
And people don't like babies. He's a baby.
And people don't like babies. You are correct. Does anybody like Susie?
That's true.
But people like TK, don't they?
Weird that people like TK, but I don't understand this hate of Cody now. You're making me question everything.
Yeah, but you didn't like Cody going in, did you?
I don't remember, like, actively hating him, though.
I don't think people like TK in season one.
Really?
I mean, Jeff and I at least have one friend who is like, TK is the worst. But she's also a person who I would say often has contradictory opinions, so...
Wait,
I don't know how much to, like, take stock. Shirella?
I didn't know she thought that way.
No, yeah, when we were home, not, like, this last Christmas, the Christmas before, I was like, TK is my favorite, and she's like, no, TK sucks. She's like...
Yeah, Susie, like, I don't have any strong feelings about Susie.
I want to like her, but I also find her deeply, deeply obnoxious.
Do you mean that in, like, her actions or in, like, the portrayal of being so childish?
Both?
I can't even remember if it's a dub thing or the both.
I have a feeling it's actually both, because some of the things she does, like, on screen are just obnoxious.
Yeah, I think the, like, infantilization is probably exaggerated in the dub, is my guess.
Yeah, but it's still there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, it's also kind of weird how, like, she eventually just finds a partner who accepts all of her, like, is just the most tame, it's a funny word, but anyway, the most tame Digimon who was just like, yeah, whatever, I'll let you do whatever to me.
I still assert that that Lopmon likes Susie as Antilamon and is like, please leave me alone as Lopmon. But it's like, oh no, this is my fate now. Now I must accept it.
So I was initially going in terms of order of them becoming tamers. But now we went to Susie. I had to skip back to our favorite character, Ryo.
No.
Ryo.
No.
Ryo rhymes with no.
Ryo means Ryo. Wait, no. No means Ryo. No, I was thinking it's gonna be a good shirt. Like no means
just,
like
just stop.
Ryo means Ryo. No.
Just stop.
You're taking it too far. I had a very basic joke.
Ryo does suck. I mean, there are lots of different reasons he sucks.
He's just poorly written. Like I actually feel bad for him.
Yeah, he's poorly written, he's poorly handled from the perspective of people who love Ryo from the games. They find him frustrating in Tamers. People who don't care about Ryo find him frustrating for existing in Tamers. From all different sides, it's frustrating.
Yep.
It's one of the weirdest things looking back on as an adult, because I think it's one of the biggest contrasts in Digimon between adulthood and child viewing. And I don't really know why that is. I think there's something to that.
As kids, you just want to be cool. You like you exactly project that image of cool.
And it's like it's the same way kids like the White Ranger or the Gold Ranger in Power Rangers. Like they're usually the most boring crap characters in a show and are just there to be plot devices. But ooh, the shiny, you know.
Yeah, like Ryo comes in. He's like, I'm the best.
He proceeds to do nothing.
He looks cool. Like, I think his design is cool. His Digimon is cool. Like,
yeah. And also, like, he's a garbage character.
Yeah, like, he has all the elements of cool that are just like, what are you doing here, though? Like,
who invited you?
I don't know. I guess I'm just curious to find out, like, what it is that made Ryo seem so cool as a kid. And I'm kind of curious, like, why that isn't employed more. Like, cynically, just like, why don't marketers just like hone in on that and just focus on that when they're making children's properties? But I wonder if they already have.
They do.
I mean, I feel like as a kid, I'm also more willing to be like, I don't care that he's not integrated in the story. Like, I'm more willing to use my own imagination and crap to, like, fill in stuff. Whereas now I'm like, this is just not a good story. Like, what? Like, what?
I find that interesting coming from a fanfic writer.
But I don't write that. Like, I wrote more fanfiction as a child, which is like,
I guess that's true.
It's like, my argument is I would be more willing to write fanfiction then than I am now.
But I feel like as an adult, we have like so many more choices of media that we have to be like discerning. You know, like, we have to be like, is this story good enough to be worth my attention when there's like five other things that could be good enough to write fanfiction about instead? You know what I mean? So like, whereas as a kid, it's like, well, this is the coolest thing I've seen on TV. Like, you're not really getting all these different options. So you're like, okay, well, I'll make this cooler in my own head. And I'll devote time to write fanfiction about it.
I certainly feel like the way that we consume media now being so different from how we consumed it then is also an element. Like, if you missed an episode of Digimon, like, you're not just going to stop watching Digimon, but there's also no avenue for you to easily, like, go and catch up with that one episode. So you just have to, like, accept that you would miss episodes of your favorite media if you didn't tape it and then just, like, keep watching.
And I guess also, like, those holes in the narrative, you may have, like, blamed on missing an episode or two, and you may have, like, had a more optimistic view because of that.
Yeah.
So all this to say, we forgive Ryo for his sins, and it's totally fine, right?
No.
I'm kidding.
Oh, Ryo.
I guess that's an interesting point, because I've always thought of it as, like, as a kid, Ryo is great. As an adult, Ryo is not great. But I think it might just be more like, you know, watching it in the media landscape we had as kids, Ryo is great. Watching in the media landscape we have now, he's not great. Like, I'm curious how kids watching Tamers now.
I'm pretty sure it's just nostalgia at this point.
I think it's also just an element of adults are different than children brains.
I think it's that too. But I am curious how children watching it now on Netflix, if they're less forgiving of Ryo than we were.
I don't think so. I think they'll be about the same.
let's make some babies and test it.
How
long does it take?
I can ask my second graders, guys.
How long does it take? Children.
So, okay, if we want them to be in sixth grade, how long, like a couple minutes, does it take to make a sixth grader?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
What? Like 6 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
1 minute for each grade.
Moving on to the next sexist dubro, Kazu.
Do we have to?
I don't think there's much to say about Kazu. I mean, he was frustratingly, like, I feel like saying sexist is like, in a lot of circles, some circles has like a lot more weight, and people are like, oh my god, you're calling him sexist, that's a really big character assassination kind of accusation. But when I'm
he's sexist,
when I call Kazu sexist, what I mostly mean is like, he's sexist in the way that like, he's like a default dude bro making dude bro jokes. Like, he's not like misogynist, he's not like harassing women on the street, he's not like being super overtly sexist.
Okay. I mean,
yeah,
he's 10.
Okay, but like, what I mean is like,
Asher's gonna disagree.
What I mean is just like, he's like doing the kind of playground sexism that is totally standard, and it's so frustrating that that is standard.
Sure.
So I feel like some people push back and be like, well, how can you blame him? Like, this is just what's normal for, this is just boys being boys. And it's like, no, but boys being boys is so frustrating. Like,
yeah, like that's not how it has to be.
Right. It's not how it has to be. And we can hold people to higher standards if we don't just accept it as like, oh, well, they're just boys, which I think that's part of the like frustration we had with criticism when we would complain about sexism in early episodes of this podcast about Tamers, and people would be like, well, they're just representing society as it is. And it's like, but society can be better if we had better role models.
Yeah. I mean, I always disagree with like, it's human nature. And I'm like, no, there's no, humans have evolved from like, these things. Humans have the ability to keep evolving if you're just like, well, screw that.
I think even people have the ability to digivolve.
They can digivolve their differences.
Yep.
They can digivolve their differences, exactly.
I think we solved it.
Thank you. We solved it. But I just hate people who assert that you can't digivolve your differences, because that's a lie.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of the, like,
full of lies.
Reminds me a lot of the, like, oh, what is it? The phrase, when someone's complaining about some situation not being fair, and they're like, this isn't fair, and then some, I feel like it usually comes up in whatever, there's someone who's like, life isn't fair, and they use that as an excuse to do something unfair, and it's like, no, it's not like you're making it unfair. It's like, it's always bothered me.
I mean, it's the same argument with like trigger warnings. It's like, well, you can't use trigger warnings because you never know when you'll be triggered in life. Like, life sucks. And it's like, yes, the point is that in situations where you could control for that, isn't that nice that like you try hard to control for the things that you can control? I don't understand.
Yeah. I think there's more depth to that argument possibly, and that like they might be arguing that if you're never exposed to it, then it'll make it worse when you are. And so being passively exposed, all like there are, I don't buy them, but like I think there are somewhat valid counter arguments about exposure therapy. But usually those are just like, exposure therapy is a thing and therefore trigger warnings are stupid. And it's like, that's dumb. No, that's not. Just because exposure therapy is a thing that works for some people doesn't mean you should use it all the time for everything. Ugh, but anyway.
You should definitely not force it upon people.
Yeah. Yeah, like I've heard exposure therapy is a thing, therefore I'm gonna make you do it.
Yeah.
Ugh. I guess we should also include Kenta in the Dubro sexist category. I was kind of surprised. I didn't look back on him. Like, he seems much like Kazu's design is already kind of like extroverted. I kind of expect sexism from him, kind of. Kenta seems like more.
Wow.
Of a,
this guy looks sexist.
I guess that is how it came off. Now you're broaching some weird paths.
Okay, maybe not just, but like just their personality. Like, one is clearly extroverted more so than the other. I thought like Kenta seems more like the archetypal nerd, and I was surprised to see him at various times exhibit just as much Dubro sexism.
Maybe that's your bias, but like nerds are all about dude bro sexism all the time sometimes.
Yeah,
sorry. Also, Jeff,
no.
I would classify myself as the Kenta in most situations with my friends as a younger person, where it's like my friends were really cool but also could be super douche-twatty, and so because of groupthink and I wanted to be cool, like I would be like, yeah, I'm gonna just like copy that person but still obviously be a dweeb, like.
Yeah, I can kind of
like that's definitely he reads archetype.
Do we have anything to say about Ayamaku? I more just wish that they had more time to see how their relationship with Imman developed, because that seems like such a would be weird.
It would be weird because when we do finally meet them, they are seen as, like, perfect children. That's off-putting.
Yeah, they basically, like, they regret one thing and they go from being terrible children to being perfect children. It's like, that's not how, especially kids work.
Yeah, I mean, it really plays into, like, the kids are so innocent narrative. And I'm kind of like, no.
I mean, if you think of, like, Imman as kind of like messed up relationship with his tamers initially and then being kind of abandoned, it more so reminds me of like abusive relationships where like the abuser is like, I've totally changed, I'm so much better, look, I'm so much better now, and like then they fall back into
it's so hard habits. To read that narrative on top of them being like 5 years
yeah,
old though.
No, I know I think I'm stretching with that, but like I do think there's something like I think the more practical some like more likely is that they're acting on ice because they regret something and want his affection, and that once they have his affection again, they'll go back to being as they were before. Because they're 5, they're not going to have as much like emotional depth to have learned from their mistakes, I don't think.
I guess, I mean, it's so complicated because like Imman also seem, I don't, it's just like, I mean, it's easy to read the abuser narrative on top of it. It's just really off-putting with children. Like, I feel like they tried to force that onto it. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why?
I don't think they tried to force that on there. I think maybe I forced it into the reading of the text, but.
But it's just like, we're not, Imman also seems to be like, I wish I wanted their affections and stuff. But I'm like, but why? You know more about humans having rampaged around and seen the other tamers, like what, why would you want those humans specifically?
Yeah, that's particularly was particularly left out of the narrative. It's kind of like they set him up as like, you are the Digimon to these tamers without any actual formal relationship, but it's like clearly those are the ones he cares about, and why, we don't know.
Like in that, I don't know, in that headspace of Impmon, it seems like it would make more sense to me if, because he was jealous of how the main tamers and their relationships, that he would like try to get in with one of their friend groups. Like if he wanted Kazu or something to be his tamer.
Or that he would like seek out the strongest person or something.
Yeah, I don't know. His motivations just don't make sense to me.
Yeah, I could see that. There's a lot of stuff I love about Imam, but I could see how that's totally like a... That's just set up as like a thing you're probably not supposed to think too much about, because it's just a defining trait that's like, dig into it? No, it doesn't really... Nothing really holding that thread together. Also, likewise, Alice is kind of maybe possibly technically a tamer. There's not much to her aside from it sure is kind of weird and kind of creepy. Kanaka's fascination with both, like, this goth lolly thing, but also, like, the name Alice. Like, that's just, like, why is the name Alice mean so much to you? Like, I guess it's from Alice in Wonderland, but...
Kanaka sure is a weird man.
I forget if you mentioned on the podcast before, but Alice shows up, like, as a name in many of his works, and his, like, website domain includes Alice in the URL, and probably other things. Yeah.
Hmm.
So, last two, the points on tamers and humans in general. Favorite adults?
Rika's grandmother.
Yeah. Is that even a question?
Andrew.
Riley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
right. Wait, did you know? Did you think?
I don't... I was like, oh, we're obviously all going to say Seiko, but I forgot about Riley. Yeah, you're totally...
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. One of the things I found listening back to episode 300 was Andrew being like, we were choosing who we thought would be our favorite characters, like who they were before we watched the season. And Andrew was like, this is going to come out of left field, but my favorite characters are the Hypnos girls. And we were like, what? And
he stayed consistent. Yeah.
Good consistency. So yeah, looking at the results from the poll, actually, Seiko is tied with Yamaki.
No.
But that's mostly from Reddit. Most of Yamaki's points are from Reddit. And that kind of makes sense. Kind of seems like Yamaki would be a Reddit person.
Are you judging Reddit?
I'm always judging Reddit. 100%.
I think I'm more judging Yamaki. Also.
Oh, well, I'm always judging Reddit. I look down on you, Reddit. I don't care if you know it.
To be fair, I think the Digimon subreddit is a lot better in a lot of regards than most of Reddit as a whole.
We could only hope. That's not a high bar.
What about ships?
There's actually not that many.
Rika X Jerry.
Rika and Jerry's a good ship.
Renamon X Rika?
The only thing I had in mind for that was Jerry and Takato, because that's really, I think, the only thing that's there in the narrative.
Kind of the only, like, actual ship.
Yeah.
You're forgetting the other canon ship, but I'm not going to mention it. If you wiped it from your mind somehow, like, good on you. I'm not saying anything.
You know what I want to do?
Riley and Yamaki?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's a good ship, too.
That is the best ship.
Okay, Jeff. Wait, Jeff knows.
What are we talking about?
We don't have to talk about it.
We're not about talking
Babamon
about anything.
About Babamon and
Gigimon? everyone, calm down. I'm just gonna play some calming music. Okay, well, Ash, who are your favorite characters?
Well, Terrymon, obviously. No, I remember I liked Rika a lot, or Ruki, or whatever her name is. And I think I liked Ryo because of spoilers, because he ended up with Ruki. I think that was the only reason I liked him. And maybe his sweater. I think I liked his sweater.
Wait, so to what extent does he end up with her? Like, just...
I don't know. I don't remember.
A lot of flirting.
Okay, flirting.
There was a lot of flirting. Like, something was going on there. And then I think I liked Henry, too. But, like, I was...
Yeah. So, we have it on tape.
No, that's not
Ash
a real ship.
I did not say that. It is all fabricated.
Rika with anybody but Ryo, quite honestly.
Honestly. Well, no, I'm not sure I would choose Kazu over Ryo.
Okay.
Oh,
Rika,
yeah.
With anybody that's not Ryo, Kenta, or Kazu.
Yeah, wait. So we have to choose. Is Rika Ryo better or worse than Rika Kazu? Because I think Rika Kazu is kind of like...
What?
Rika Kazu, like, reminds me, like, she's already, like... It's like she's dating downwards.
No. What?
You know, it's like she ended up with a sleazebag instead of a, like, successful douchebag, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, exactly. Ryo is better because he actually is successful.
Does anyone have any thoughts about, like, why Tamers is less shippy than Adventure?
Because there are less of them?
Because they're not always together. There's, like, one arc.
But they are all together for that one arc, and, like...
Yeah, but they're not together all the time, even then.
I still think there's, like, so little chemistry between... And I guess, like, there are, in the course of the season, like, last episode we mentioned, there are five female Tamers. But, like, one of them is only in the movie. One of them is only in, like, brief appearance. One of them, actually, I guess Minami isn't actually tamer, so that's just five characters.
She is as much of a tamer as Alice is.
Yeah.
I guess she does have a Digimon. She has Caesarmon. But, so then we're only left with Jerry and Rika, and both of them have fairly canonically supported ships.
But I ship them together!
And I will support you, because that's a much better ship than either of their canon ships.
So much better.
I mean, Takato Jerry's actually very sweet, but Rika Jerry is better.
That's true.
They have card games in common.
Rika is much more calm and supportive with the Jerry, and they bring out the good qualities in each other, okay? That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Yeah.
Wait, let's make a canon. Let's do it.
Let's make a canon.
Vote it into canon.
Okay, vote it into canon. I don't think this is going to work, but all right.
Okay, so everyone who wants it to be canon, say aye.
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 And now it is canon.
And Mako.
To what?
There, I gaveled into canon.
Wow.
What canon, though?
The canon.
All the canon. The one canonical canon.
The ship canon.
Let's move on to... Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, I guess I should mention what... I guess I should briefly... Favorite ships from listeners. There weren't... Like, favorite ships were, like, definitely the least voted on thing. And a lot of people just answered, like, you know...
Ronnie.
Yeah, basically. Because, yeah.
Good. So, that is the correct answer.
I think one person voted for the boat in... In the first movie where, like, Henry's boat gets destroyed.
Amazing!
Good answers.
Okay, so what's our favorite Digimon?
Terrymon,
obviously, for Asher. Ashley? Mm-hmm. Ashley, your pick is Gilmon. Andrew, your pick is Rileymon.
Yeah. Mockymon.
And Jeffrey's pick is Impmon. Like, we're done.
That's true.
Wait, what is Andrew's actually? That's the only unknown. Renamon. Is it actually?
All right, we covered all of them.
What did the listeners say?
Probably Renamon. Or maybe Gilmon.
Gilmon's number one.
Hmm.
Then Renamon, then Terrymon.
I say Gilmon, but with a caveat.
Ooh, unexpected turn here.
Unexpected turn. I feel that most of his development is very, very early on in the season, and then while it's admirable that he is consistently adorable, it's, like, not compelling as a story.
But none of the Digimon really have an arc or character development aside from Renamon.
Renamon has a very compelling one.
Yeah. Renamon has more of
in the second half of the show, like, in the same frame, you're talking about Gilmon not having stuff?
Yeah.
Yes. Renamon and Rika consistently still have... issues.
Do they?
Yes. Renamon is always like, don't do it, Rika. And then Rika's like, I'm gonna do it. And Renamon's like, all right.
But then that doesn't go anywhere. That's just how they are.
It's still more compelling than Takato being like, Gilmon, do this. And Gilmon being like, okay, I'm Gilmon.
Yeah, especially for how the Biomerge Evolution is supposed to be like a uniting of their souls and whatever. Like, we don't really see any of, like, Gilmon's perspective of, like, the fallout of being turned into Gijimon or anything. It's just like, yeah, Takata saved me. So, we're totally united. We're totally on the same page.
Like, Gilmon is very forgiving, which is nice, but also, like, I don't know. I'm comparing it to Steven in the Steven universe. Like, I feel like Steven is also a very consistently, like, very nice character, but he has...
Are you comparing Steven to a Digimon partner?
Yes, I am. Yeah. You gotta deal with it.
He's the Crystal Gems little pet Digimon.
Yes. Because I feel like they both have, like, doofy, lovable personalities, but, like, Steven has more of an issue, and even when he still is consistently lovable and silly, like, there's still a conflict there that is not present for little dinosaur Digimon.
Yeah, I agree with that. What is next? Favorite Digivolution?
Antilamon.
Beelzemon's the answer.
Psst!
Sorry, Beelzemon Blastmon is technically the most correct. Scientifically proven.
Yes.
So Ashley and Andrew?
Oh, I agree with Beelzemon.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
I like Sakuyamon.
Oh, I prefer Taumon to Sakuyamon.
Really?
Now I do.
Really?
I
question everything.
I mean, back in the day, I didn't. I was like, oh, yes, Kubimon's the coolest.
But
like,
we all agree they're much better than Kubimon, right?
I like Kubimon.
I like Kubimon.
Kubimon
is just a Ninetales with a what's it called? A candy cane around its neck.
Are you parroting what they said in the office? My ridiculous office
chat? They said that?
Yeah. Her argument was like, I show us. She was like, what is this on your desk? It was my Kubimon.
If you're calling the bell thing a candy cane, you're not allowed to go to Japan next week.
Jeff is jokingly saying it. But yeah, then my office worker was like, why are they wearing a candy cane around their neck? And I was like, it's supposed to be bells, like at shrines.
Okay, favorite Digimon listeners voted Beelzemon was in first place. Yep, then Tsukuyomon, then Beelzemon Blast Mode. If you count Beelzemon Blast Mode and Beelzemon as the same vote, it just like blows everyone out of the water by far. Which, see, I mean, like Beelzemon and Imon like have the cool factor that Ryo had, but like with an actual arc to it and interesting character development. That's what people should learn from Tamers.
Okay.
Favorite Deva.
Antilamon.
Antilamon.
I was going to say that's a hard one, but no, yeah.
I have a different answer. I can't even remember half the names anyway.
You have a different answer?
I do.
Well, you're wrong. You're wrong, and you're voted off the podcast.
Is it the rooster? Because the rooster is the best.
Right, it's not the rooster. And we don't like the rooster. We like the owl being controlled by the rooster.
That's true.
The Deva.
That's fun.
The Deva. My vote is for the monkey Deva.
No!
No!
Creepy.
He's so I think he's so convincingly creepy and like so uncanny valley of what a human is.
I mean, he is the one we see the most of, but still he sucks.
Yeah, Monkey Deva is like, I really think, a good uncanny valley between Digimon and human, and is really creepy and is also around for a while. I don't remember like in binge watching or whatever, like whenever we watch for the podcast, that kind of structure doesn't work so well, but in week to week it was like, who is this thing? I'm so curious. And then it like, yeah, led into the next arc and everything. He's cool. He's the best, better than Antilamon.
I respect that. Like, that's a well thought out response. And also, you're wrong because Antilamon's the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I sympathize. I sympathize with your wrong opinion.
Okay.
Favorite D-Reaper
agent?
Can
we not do favorite? No.
There's not really.
What? Don't.
So the reason I had favorite D-Reaper agent was because like in the past we've done favorite villains. And I don't really feel like there is a good, like, do any of you have decent answers to the idea of a favorite villain for Tamers? I don't know if there is.
Indramon.
Indramon?
Which one?
That was the horse, right?
Hmm.
Indramon.
I can see that.
The pig Deva.
The pig Deva, yes!
Impmon!
Well, I really like Indramon for how, I like him as a villain for, like, how his abuse of Impmon.
He was a very successful villain.
He was pretty successful.
He did a good job.
Well, what I mean is, like, I still feel like people have the sentiment that, like, oh, the Devas were actually good in the end. And
No.
It's like, Indramon proved that they were not.
Yeah.
Devas, I forget if I mentioned it, just how much of a pure disappointment they were. I'm not going to play it because we don't have time, but like one of my clips that I recorded from 300 and episode one of the podcast was like how much I liked the Devas as villains, because I was like, they're so great and they're not good in the end, and like they die before they're redeemed and that's so cool, and like, but they're not ever, they're just assholes for no reason, and that's frustrating.
Because they can be, that's the reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I'm saying no reason, but there is a reason, and it's just that they are assholes, but then we're kind of, the story structure, we're not excited by them. They're just kind of Monster of the Week in a past where Digimon usually has Monsters of the Week, and they don't have much consequence outside of that, and they are kind of feel like stalling for time, and yeah, not, and they're definitely not like, oh yeah, they were so morally ambiguous in the end. They were just like, they were evil, and they were told they actually weren't that evil, and we're like, that doesn't connect. What would we change about Tamers if we could change one thing? Let's all say our answer at the count of three. We're all gonna see what our answers are. And we don't know what our answers are, but we're all just gonna say it. One, two, three. Remove Ryo.
With a caveat.
Ash, what would you change? You said Rio. What would you change, Rio? Would you remove Rio?
I would remove Rio, yes.
Okay. See, I feel like most people's argument is that they should remove Rio, but I actually, this is not my argument. I think that actually, when I initially thought of this, my initial thought was change Rika's motivations was my change. Because I feel like Rio and Rika do have the makeup of a great rivalry dynamic that is just like totally thrown into this weird romantic. And so I want that to be the thing. Like, I want that to be a thing from the start. Like, seed Rio better.
I think they even have, like, a potential of being a rivalry that is romantic without being as annoying as it was.
Yeah. I think it has, like, if you just seed Rio better because this is a consistent thing that hurts Rika, and then in the end she has a better overcoming of it than just, like...
And he isn't an asshole about it.
Yeah, and he isn't such a douche tratty about it. Like, I think that that would be really cool.
Which, like, it's frustrating because, like, people just, okay, well, Tamers was forced on the writing team, so, like, that's why Rio sucked. And, but the execution is really where it falls down. Like, on paper, having this tamer come in that is this mythical tamer that, you know, is both mythical to the audience because he's a really good card game. Sorry, both mythical to in the show because he's good at the card game and mythical to the subset of the audience that has played the games. That's a really cool idea. Having him also then, like, be tied into Rika's past because that would make sense. Also a cool idea. Having him be, like, a romantic interest to Rika because they're kind of equals and they're, you know, like... It's someone who could, like, live up to Rika or whatever. Also a cool idea. But, like, all the execution is just so poor.
So bad.
Like, I'm just imagining, like, I was like, who would I envision my ideal person to date Rika? Or, like, to be with Rika? And I was like, oh, it should be someone who's, like, as cool as her. And, like, is, like, could be, like, side by side, kicking ass together. And I'm like, that could be Rio. But instead, Rio is, like, kind of, like, dominating in a, like a, not abusive language, but you know what I mean? Like, kind of, like... negging her in a way. And
yeah, also you just said that and I was like, okay, what if Jerry kicked ass?
What if Jerry kicked ass?
right
I mean, she did as a creepy D-Reaper
that wasn't thing. Her
no. I also want more Rika Jerry friendship. Basically everything that was there for Rika should just have been done better.
It's also because, like, we're like, Rika's the best part of this, but also so many details around Rika, we're like, no, come on, what's so frustrating?
Because the show didn't want Rika to be the best, I feel. Like, it's not, like, it's clearly supposed to be about Takato more. Rika's just, like, accidentally the best.
Wait, Andrew, did you answer how you would fix one thing you would change?
More character motivations for the characters who weren't the main three.
So you mean for Riley?
Well, more for Yamaki, because we know nothing about this guy.
It's true.
That's my biggest complaint. Yamaki, so wasted too.
I definitely, like, my impression of him was that he was really cool, and there's, like, so little to him looking back on it.
But, like, he does really, really nefarious things to 10-year-olds, and then is given no backstory as to why.
But actually, he takes his sunglasses off, so he's good. He's good. We all got it. He's good.
Okay.
It's so ridiculous, like, I forget where, but, like, in one of Kanaka's notes, like, that's definitely, like, the initial planning of him, that he would wear sunglasses, and when he becomes good, he would take them off. And it's like, really? Oh, my
real
God.
Real subtle. Real.
Real subtle.
Real deep.
So deep.
Deep metaphors there.
Oh, I guess we should just briefly mention the listener picks for those.
Rio, Rio, and Rio.
Remove Rio, number one pick, definitely.
Because he does nothing.
There was a slightly similar one, which I guess it wasn't too common here, but I think it was in, like, the Biggest Disappointment. There was a similar thing. So yeah, in Biggest Disappointment, there was a divide between people complaining that Rio's existence was their disappointment. And that Rio's treatment was a disappointment. You know, I think it's like people who liked him in the games are, like, disappointed by his presence in Tamers, and people who just didn't want him in Tamers at all. But yeah, so then fixing Rio's treatment was not a very common what they would change, though, but removing him was a very common one. Giving a second season was the second most common one.
Interesting.
And then giving Sai Tamers evolution sequences and integrating Davis into the rest of the season instead of having them be, like, one-off things. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
まりそれが答えだろう誰より遠くへ飛んでみせるよ全ての明日を貫いて。
Now on to the Omega RDD, where we pick RDD, pick Ridiculous Dialogue Draft picks from the pool of Ridiculous Dialogue Draft picks are the winners of all the other drafts. So in theory, these are the best of the best. Cream of the crop. Creme de the RDD.
Here is the order. Jeff.
Yay.
Ashley. Asher. Andrew.
Okay, Jeff.
So mine was from back in the day, back when we were all...
Back in the day.
So much younger, so much more... I almost said so much more mature, which is not how time works.
So much more spry.
Yes. In episode 2, and it's a scene set in the school, I believe, and Takata's principal says...
Student, shouldn't you be in class?
I in a box.
And thus history was born.
That's facts. It was in the running. I did have three that I was like, I don't really know. I'm just going to choose in the heat of the moment. So now you've eliminated. It's two now. I think I'm going to go with this one from episode 37.
Yeah.
In which Kazu says,
I haven't even started dating. I've got to deal with two sad girls.
Once you start dating, I'm sure you'll make many girls sad.
Boom. Tearing the Kazu apart.
How do I choose? All right, this is from episode 16. And Takato is like...
And what was that for, Takato?
Oh, just like to keep breathing.
Seems plausible.
I'm going to go with one of the ones from episode 13. And it's the two hypnos girls in the hypnos place.
Of course it is.
Man. I think the joke is that this is Andrew now.
I think Andrew just can't get out of his own character now.
So Tally is on the ground looking for Kalimon, and Riley asks,
I think that leftover enchilada you had for lunch is making you see things. Come on, give it up.
I'm telling you, it walked and talked and rhymed.
And I'm telling you, it's your lunch. Serves you right for eating four-day-old food.
Four-day-old food would make you vomit. I'm just saying. It's just facts.
The list, we had a straw poll with all the choices. We're curious how listeners would vote. And the number one was the Kazu making girls sad one. Number two was in a box.
Kazu make girl sad one is just so perfect.
It's such a good quote.
It is true. It is true.
I can't believe that was in a kid's show.
Wait, Ash, did you actually randomize? Because like the order that ended up was the canonical order.
Yes, I did actually randomize because I did not write us in our canonical order. And then I hit randomize and that's what came out.
Oh.
Huh.
Okay.
It was destiny.
Okay, let's now do Tamer's Terminal Judgment. My main goal with this is just to, at the end of each season, check in and see what our ranking of the seasons is and how that changes over time after watching each season.
So compared to Adventure.
I mean, our ranking of all the seasons. Like, seasons one through whatever you've seen.
Right.
Yeah, so...
So right now it's only compared to Adventure.
Oh, no, I mean, no, all, like, even stuff we haven't seen yet. I was thinking just, like, our general impression.
I mean, ones we've watched in the past, not for the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And does Apmon count? I mean, it's pretty good so far.
If you consider good enough to be in the rankings, I mean, I'm considering Try as a possibility too. So, yeah, I mean, Try is halfway through its runtime. Apmon's still like, who knows, a tenth if it's the length of normal season. Yeah, you can include in your list. I'm not, even though I've seen 5 episodes. Anyway, so let's go around. I'll start off. My ranking of seasons now is Tamers in first place still, Try in second place, Savers in third, then Adventure, Frontier, 02, Cross Wars.
You're so wrong.
Wow!
I mean, it's weird. Like, I feel like my estimation of Tamers has definitely gone down after rewatching it. Like, my expectation of it before rewatching it this time was built up a lot by hype from anime critics in general of how great it was, how much it stood out in the other seasons. And a lot of that is deflated. But I still think it's on top. And Try has crept in to be, like, mostly because of the Last Try movie. The first two, really, not so much. Mm-hmm. But because of the third one, at this point, I'm putting it there. And it's very possible that the last three drops down again. But, yeah, and then Savers is really the one I'm like, I have lots of really good memories of the season I watched once enough to put it above Venture, but I have no idea how it's going to feel once I actually watch it. I expect it to go down a lot. Anyway, Ashley, what's your ranking?
So I think that I mostly agree with Jeff. I put Try, see, when I was thinking about it in terms of just like, I don't know, I guess I didn't think Try could be its own thing. I didn't think we were going to rank Try. So I was like, oh, Try is making me look at Adventure and is making that stronger. But if I could just put Try in a thing, then it's like, I still put Tamers first, mostly because I feel like, even if I agree mostly with what Jeff said, that it wasn't as good as people like hype it up to be, I think I still have the most feelings, both positively and negatively, about it compared to
so many
any other Digimon season.
Like, yeah, it's weird how like you got so mad at the season more than the others.
But it's just like that leads to just overall more emotional investment in it, which then, like, I don't know. I just feel like I don't have that many feeling like, I don't really care about Sora, Matt, Ty's triangle, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just don't care.
one thing I noticed is that you, like, refer to Tamers as, like, a character. You're like, Tamers, why'd you do this? Tamers, don't do this. Tamers, do that.
Tamers, Tamers, don't do this. Tamers. Right. But then Try is currently favorable, so I'm putting that second. Then I've only seen The Adventures in Frontier. Okay, so then I would put Adventure, then Frontier, and then 02.
Why do we keep having the same list for things?
Is it the same?
Yes, it's aside from the ones that I've watched and you haven't.
Oh, you and I have.
Yeah. But like for the, when we picked our like our fancy draft picks, we picked the exact same ones.
Because we live together, we bleed our brains into each
other. It's like when women live together and sync their periods. And
yeah, it's like that.
We sync our Digimon periods.
Yeah. Cool.
Ash, do you want to go next?
Sure. So, I'm going to be the outlier here, as often.
You're keeping 02 at the top.
I am keeping 02 at the top. It was much more enjoyable for me than 3. So I would go 02, 02 Adventure,
All the adventures in a row.
No, I take it back. So 02 Adventure, Frontier, Try, Tamers.
Wow. Still reverse.
Tamers,
okay.
On the bottom.
Tamers on the bottom.
On the bottom. Wow. Mean.
It is mean.
All right.
So how is it mean?
You put 02 all the way on top of Tamers.
Sure,
that is such BS. So
whatever. You guys are incorrect.
I love
how you are very, very incorrect.
I love how Ash is like the favorite host, but also has the least favorite opinions.
Yeah.
It's true, though. I guess, I don't know.
My ranking makes no sense to me anymore.
What's Andrew's ranking?
Riley is not a season.
Well, Riley's kind of low, but this is also based on enjoyment. So right now, which I just came up with, it's Adventure. Universe is on there, but it could change dramatically.
Universe being Atmon?
Yeah. Savers, 02, because I did enjoy 02. Try, Tamers, Frontier, and then Cross Wars. And Frontiers is low because I haven't seen it. It's like the one series I haven't seen in a very long time.
Well, hold on to your hats, because we're going on a train ride.
I'm ready.
It's true. I have not seen Frontier in a long time.
Thank you, Ashley.
Don't have expectations.
I don't have expectations. I'm just saying that maybe it will surprise me and call up the ranking.
No.
No?
Probably not.
I have lots of expectations and nothing you can say will stop me.
okay, yeah, but right. You're gonna be really upset.
I'm a runaway exhortation Locomon.
Oh boy.
Trailmon,
yeah, that's what I have to say. I'm going to recommend something which I think is kind of fitting as the last Tamers episode, only because I have been holding off on recommending this for almost a year now, and I started reading it about a year ago when I came back from Japan, saw it was super popular. It is One Piece, and I am finally on the last volume that is out in the US, and I still have a lot more to read to catch up the chapters that have been in Shonen Jump and not in volume form yet before I can actually be current, but I'm almost there. It's great, and it's so hard to explain why. It's so long, such a big time commitment to get into. But I think it's really worth it. It's a really interesting example of great broad storytelling. There are like lots of self-contained arcs, but then there's stuff that spans between the arcs, and there's stuff that spans between the things that span between the arcs. And it is just like really interesting to see how that's crafted over time, over 15 years. It's really great. I'm running out of time. You should probably read it, but also that's a lot of money and time. And I guess I should also mention that I work for the company.
Jeff works on Shonen Jump.
Yeah, I work for the company that publishes it, so yeah.
Well, I'll second that recommendation because it's wonderful.
Mm.
But yeah, I would like to recommend a mobile game called Mystic Messenger. It is a dating sim from Korea. And I went into it with very low expectations because I have played a couple visual novels before, and they get crazy. And let me tell you, Mystic Messenger gets crazy. It gets crazy very quickly. But somehow the characters are still really, really relatable and enjoyable also. It's a lot of fun. And there's a sort of real-time element mixed in which they send you messages and have chat rooms open every couple hours. And you go and enter them. And they will chat at 3 a.m. and that's terrible, but it's a fun ride. Be warned, there is triggery content in it, but if you enjoy memes, you will enjoy Mystic Messenger, probably.
Wow, okay. What will I recommend? I will recommend the t-shirt / sock site tturtle.com. It is where you can buy all the cutest, geekiest t-shirts. I think that the majority of my t-shirts are now from there, and anytime somebody is like, that's a really cute shirt, I'm like, yeah, it's from T-Turtle. I just buy all my shirts from there. Also, they used to be all, you know, illegal, like most of these cool nerdy t-shirt sites are, but now they actually do legit partnerships with places like Marvel and DreamWorks, so you are legally supporting the fandoms that you love when you buy from T-Turtle. So, you know, yay that. Woohoo. Go check it out.
Andrew.
I'm going to recommend The Magic of Stella, which people aren't watching simply because it's on Daisuke, which is free. It's...
Yeah, but it sucks.
But basically...
Oh.
It's about a club in high school where they make video games, but the main girl is the artist, but she can only draw manly looking characters, and then her friends are like the programmer, musician, and writer, and everything is very relatable if you are any of those things.
So it's like about the creative process.
Yeah, I think it's slice of lifey, but there is a plot, and it's pretty harmless, but yes, it's creation process of making a doujinshi game.
All right. So that's a wrap on the season. Thank you to all listeners who have been listening throughout the season. Thank you to my fellow Diginomes for hosting with me throughout the season. It's been long.
Are we going to change for season 4?
We're digivolving.
Into what?
We're digivolving into Trailmon.
My mistake. We're spirit evolving.
It could be slight evolution.
No.
To spirit evolution.
Just a reminder, we're doing the Podigious shirts. which will be available over 3 weeks. And also we have the listener survey, which I hope you fill out and help us improve, see what you like and don't like for the next season. We are definitely considering shaking things up, mixing things up, making things better and improve for the next season, cutting what people don't like, adding what people do like, that kind of thing. So fill it out. You can be the change you want in the world. On that note, you can find the full show notes for this episode by going to podigis.com/315. You can leave us feedback in the comments section on the site, or you can just let us know your thoughts on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Reddit, email, With the Will, SoundCloud, YouTube, Skywriting, Foreboding Prophecies, or Color-Coded Smoke Signals.
Podigis is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon: David Graumon, Diab Jomon, Joe Keto, Kai Lunamon, Kaiser Washi, Michael Penny, Red from Breakfast with Digimon on SoundCloud, and Sam Kriwagamon from The Dash Moncast on SoundCloud.
If you want to support the show on Patreon, you can get some cool rewards, like access to our private Slack chat group for $1 a month, monthly stickers for $5 a month, and early episodes for $10 a month. Reaching our next goal will allow us to make podcast episodes about movies related to Digimon, so check out patreon.com/podigis to help us out. If you want to make a one-time donation to the podcast instead, you can PayPal us at www.paypal.me/podigis.
You can find Podigis on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. If you don't like how we pronounce GIF, then become a Patreon so you can vote on how we have to pronounce it. You can find me on Twitter as Drew Softman, I think. Is that it?
Maybe. Maybe not. It's up to you to figure it out.
Jeff?
I am definitely Jeff on Twitter.
Ashley?
I am AshMcD00 on Twitter, and I make funny jokes about how Edamon looks like Powerline from the Goofy movie. So, you know.
And
you follow me.
Ash.
You can find me at AsherDashery at Tumblr, and right now it's mostly Mystic Messenger, so be careful.
Hold on,
be careful, yeah.
Throughout the season, we alternated between two pieces of artwork for Calamon and Impmon. Mary Cagle, aka Cube Watermelon on Tumblr and Twitter, did the Calamon piece, and Vmon Tamer, aka Vmon Tamer on Twitter and DeviantArt, did the Impmon piece. You should definitely go check out the rest of both of their artwork if you haven't already.
Share the podcast with your friends who are hanging out the passenger side of your best friend's ride, and don't share the podcast with a guy who can't get no love from me. Yeah.
Because we don't want no scrubs.
Because we don't want no scrubs.
I suppose so. And join us next time, ish, for All Aboard. Get on the train. Woo. Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving.
Pixel, you're not intelligent.
Cats are not smart, and I would like to have a word with everyone in... No, I knew that, but, like, there's the idea that cats are smart in, like, all children's media, and really? I would like to have a word with children's
media.
Yeah, like,
they're clever and crafty and...
Supposedly, but no, they're really not.
Really not, though, yeah.
Is Garfield like the most accurate portrayal of a cat?
I've never seen a cat that actually wanted lasagna, so no.
No, personality wise.
Cats like cheese, though.
Do they?
Yeah. Apparently, mice don't.
No.
Yeah, that's...
cats are lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
But they like it anyway. They want to eat it.
Because they're not intelligent.
Well, lots of animals like salty things.
So let's go into the... Oh, title. I don't know. Like, we don't have any good choices.
Digimon Lamers.
Oh, no.
Digimon Lamers, quote Ash.
God, no.
That is... I honestly, like, in my head, whenever I'm just, like, don't have a thought, I think of things that rhyme with Digimon Tamers. And I like frequently say Digimon lamers, and like, it's so stupid. Stupid brain, what are you doing?
So ableist, all the ableist.
That's why I hate my brain for thinking it. Digimon shamers.
Yeah. P-E-N-N-S-Y-L-V-A-N-I-A.
Should we really go with Digimon shamers?
No.
Oh, gosh.
I'm looking up things that rhyme with tamer. I think I did this at one point.
Like, for real? You want something that rhymes with tamers? Then Digimon? Shamers works.
I mean, we
did. Digimon Kramers.
Digimon Kramers, that's what, yeah. The Tame of the Wind.
What?
Like, the name of the wind.
Oh, the name of the wind. No!
At all. Okay, let's go. Let's digitize our digi. He's mine to get in the internet. Potages! This is the last podcast about Tamers until season 2.
Thank God.
Tamers season 2, Ash. Coming next fall.
God. Just no.
Okay. No, that's Frontier. Don't be confused.
Trains!
Okay.
Trains.
Okay. Welcome to Potages.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you scroll down a little, the imager thing comes down and is covering it. Yeah, I've never pronounced it imager before in my life.
Yeah.
But I've also never pronounced it out loud. So whatever.
Run, little eagle man, run. Damn
what
it.
What are you doing?
Little eagle man.
What are you talking about? Oh.
That's a football.
Little eagle man.
Little eagle man. I know your name. It's Darren Sproles, but whatever. Oh, little eagle man. Come on.
Actually, talking about little eagle man is just weird.
Fly, eagles, fly.
No, don't fly.
On the road to victory. Fly, eagles, fly. Score a touchdown.
Is this a real song?
It's a real song, man. It's a fight song.
Did Ash ever see that shirt I got you that says the no written with yeses?
Yeah, I have.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that shirt.
It was about tickling. I didn't. I didn't realize though.
My mom also didn't like the shirt. It was very bad.
It was about tickling.
It was about tickling. Uh-huh.
I wasn't woke. I thought it was funny.
You weren't
to,
woke. That's true. It's true.
I thought it was funny to like rub that in instead of just being like, yeah. Anyway. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Rio sucks. No, exactly. Rio is better because he actually is successful.
Yeah.
And also, Rio's actually not a bad guy. He's just...
Oh, now you're defending him since you heard yourself in the past.
Character. No. He's
just
like,
a little smarmy, okay?
Yeah, like...
He has a little smarmy attitude about him.
Yeah, but he's not... He's not a f-boy like Kazu.
Whoa, what?
Did you just call a 10-year-old?
That's not
he's
going
12
to
in the dog.
That's not going to the edit.
You still call amazing. Someone under the age of 13 that.
Don't say it again.
Yes, I did.
That's amazing. Highlight of this podcast. Also a hard sex piece.
Yeah.
Oh no! I mean, I'm gonna cut out that one word you said, and then people will be like, "What? What did he call him?"
Of course you are. We're not allowed to say the F word here.
Actually, I can't.
Can I call him a scrub?
He's such an F boy.
Can I call him a scrub?
The scrub also.
He's such a scrub.
You don't even use that word anymore.
No, it doesn't matter. There was a song about it. It's fine.
There's a song about it, and that's what matters.
I don't even know what this word is.
You never
scrub?
Heard this song?
No, I don't want your number, no. I don't want to give you mine, and no. I don't want the passenger side and not of his best friend. So I'm messing up the words, but like, Bastille did a cover of it recently.
Oh, well, if Bastille did a cover of it recently, then it's fine.
TLC sang the original.
Ashley and Andrew, Hunger Games to find out who wins. To go next.
Go, Ashley.
That's not how the Hunger Games works.
Me. Yeah.
Yes, it is, if you're PETA.
If you're PETA.
That's true.
That's how it works. Share the podcast with your friends who are hanging out the passenger side of your best friend's ride, and don't share the podcast with a guy who can't get no love from me. Yeah.
Because we don't want no scrubs.
Because we don't want no scrubs.
I suppose so.
You know what, Jeffrey? Everybody else is going to get this, and you're going to feel like,
that's why I'm not questioning. Like, I'll leave it in. I'm just... Will they really? I don't know.
I think they will.
The ones who are important will.
Yeah, the cool ones will.
It's weird, because I normally have, like, and join us next time. And join us next time after the jump, when there'll probably be one in between, but
There's going to be some try and some other stuff.
Maybe, I think try might come up before this. There's going to be some episodes, and then eventually after...
Who knows?
We're gonna submerge underwater a little bit, but like we're gonna leak out little bubbles for the next couple of weeks for like with extra content, and then we'll surface again for Frontier. But like you don't know if those bubbles are like nose air bubbles or farts until you actually check them out. So listen to the future episodes.
If it's for me, it's definitely farts.
We have to descend some stairs for Frontier.
No, choo-choo. No. Oh, not the stair
jokes.
No, that's
what they do. There were also some elevators.
3, 2, 1. Digivolve.
Digivolve your differences.
This is awful.